what's that smell?
It's the smell of impending victory.
Did you just vomit in that suit?
Little.
Oh. Have you cleaned that suit once since you got it?
No, but I swam in it.
Ugh, I better wash that thing. It's hard to know where the suit ends and you begin.
Yeah, but aren't you gonna have fun finding out?
No!
That's weird. Started off as an egg.
Four-finger discount, dude.
Welcome to Four Finger Discount, the podcast where we always bathe in our costumes. This week we're here to review episode 6 of season 17 of The Simpsons. It's episode GABF21. It's See Homer Run. I am Dando.
I am Guy, and yes, welcome to the podcast that is tough on nerds, even tougher on dorks, which is bad news for me.
But See Homer Run, should we see Guy Run? You've been you've been committing to your running schedule every day on Facebook, the new updates. Well done, sir. Well done.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I mean, look, there's a couple of off days there, but I am told by people who run on the regular, it's like, no, you've got to give it a rest every once in a while. But I am semi-committed to dragging these old bones around the block at least a few times a week to, you know, try and get rid of the spare tire and the spare tire. So, yeah. Thanks, bud. Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Thank you to everybody who has tuned into the show this week. We do appreciate your support. Don't forget to please continue to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, wherever you are enjoying this podcast. We would appreciate you to do so. And also, if you do want early ad-free access to not only this show and all the other shows we do here on the Four Finger Discount Network, remember you can become a supporter of ours on Patreon. And once we hit 1,000 supporters, we're going to launch that Bob's Burgers podcast. But today we're here to discuss See Homer Run, an episode that I don't really think knew what it was. It was a Homer and Lisa story. You know, we've had them before. You know, it's somewhat of a different spin here. And then about two-thirds of the way through, they're like, hey, politics. And I was like, okay, cool. Not saying it's a bad thing, but I was like, for me, when The Simpsons does a political story, I feel like to ensure you don't look or come across like you're sitting on one side of the fence more than the other, you need to dedicate the whole episode to it, not just cram it into the final act of the episode.
I think the other thing when you're doing a political episode on The Simpsons is you've got to be kind of wishy-washy. Yeah, you're right. This had a lot of splinters on its bum by sitting on the fence. I mean, basically saying, I don't know, politics is bad. It becomes a bit of a circus. You know, people are going to be distracted by, you know, bells and whistles, or in this case, a salamander costume. But not really saying anything all that incisive or insightful about the political process. Dando pointed out he didn't know. He thought this was an episode that didn't know what it was. I knew what this episode was. It was 22 minutes of a sucky character that sucks. That's what it was. Getting more and more infuriated and disenchanted with Homer as the years go by, as the weeks go by, as the episodes go by, I've got to say. I mean, this was just kind of infuriating, kind of upsetting, kind of just like, why? What's the point of this guy?
Yeah, the thing is that, and I know the people who run the show now say every episode's in its own vacuum. You're not supposed to compare it to the golden era, blah, blah, blah. That aside, it's hard to do that when you've grown up on the show, right? It's the same Correct. Show. You can't just all of a sudden go, okay, we're going to forget that everything that's come beforehand for the sake of comedy. Even if we do that, they've just made Homer this character where, in this episode, they tried to make it out like he was ignorant in the way he was being mean to Lisa, but how dumb do you have to be to realize that your daughter is so sad that you didn't like her thing? And then, like, moments later, once he's had time to think about it, he still says, why is she upset? It's my day. I'm like, really? That's how you followed up the moment with her getting sad about the photo? Like, that's just, it's just douchebag, man. Even if he's not meant to be a douchebag, he's a douchebag.
It really is the case. And I know, look, they've racked up hundreds of episodes by this time. And yeah, and it's difficult to, I don't know, find that freshness still. But at the same time, I mean, I think there are ways to explore the fact that, you know, as a parent, you may have inadvertently through ignorance or sheer pigheadedness or whatever, hurt your child's feelings or disregarded them or whatever. I think there are ways to do that don't necessarily beat you over the head by with how yeah, how much of a douchebag your main character is. I mean, yeah. I think it's detrimental to the show in the long run. I think this is, you know, a prime example of why people were starting to say the Simpsons sort of passed its prime at this stage.
I think it would have been a nice direction for this episode, considering they brought the politics into it, right? And I'm not sure whether they were hinting at this at the moment, but when Lisa says, you know, you should go for mayor, because then good people like me could tell you what to do, I think it would have been an interesting spin to say, Lisa, she doesn't necessarily respect Homer now, but she can see his popularity as the salamander, right? And she thinks, okay, how can I manipulate the system so that I'm essentially the mayor of Springfield? I think it would have been cool.
That's a really good idea.
If you had started that segment, like the beginning of Act 2 with the politics, right, then Lisa essentially becomes the mayor of Springfield through Homer. That would have been a more fun story, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, it'd be interesting if, you know, I mean, Lisa's smart, of course, but she's still a child, still immature in a lot of ways, gets corrupted by power. And exactly. Homer, who's essentially good at heart, even though, you know, they're doing their damnedest to make sure that we don't see that, helps her see the error of her ways by, you know, I mean, Homer, for all his faults, is fairly innocent and naive.
Yeah, but and then you would get an ending where the emotional, oh, we love you, love each other, would have felt earned because they've both done something wrong and they've both helped each other.
But I mean, yeah, but Homer's sort of saying, well, I'm going to win back my child's love by any means necessary. It's like, does this ever work in any realm of the multiverse, whether it's, you know, Geelong in 2023 or Springfield in whenever, in the fictional realm? Never.
And we've already had that, I'm going to win back, because in the first episode of the Manatees, I'm going to win back my wife's love. And I'm like, how many times do you have to win back your family's love?
Yeah, before they just say, no deal.
Yeah.
Before they start, you know, doing the big X, no dice.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I just think it would have been really interesting to see Lisa become the mayor of Springfield through Homer, and everyone angry at Homer, but then him copping the heat for Lisa.
Well, that's the thing, and it'd be a nice sort of reversal on the American Idol episode where Homer became sort of like the Colonel Tom Parker character, and manipulating Lisa and all that kind of business. And yeah, that'd be kind of a nice callback, kind of a nice echo. I mean, thematically, I think it could kind of work. Yeah, but no, they did not do that. Now, I'm sorry. I mean, it's easy for us in our lavish recording studios in beautiful downtown Geelong.
As Count Basie licks his balls in the background.
To be throwing, you know, pot shots at Simpsons HQ. They've got enough on their plate. And, you know, hindsight is, of course, 2020. But, yeah, looking at this episode, it's like there are so many ways, big and small, this could have been done a bit better. I mean, one note I've taken here, I mean, this is only slightly related to what I'm talking about, but, you know, there's a bit where Lisa says, well, you know, Janie's dad takes her to the zoo every week. And I was like, you can't go to the zoo anymore. And Lisa goes, yeah, that's right. Not to be all classic Simpsons would have done it this way, but classic Simpsons would have done it this way. You know, they would have thrown in a nice little sort of flashback or throwaway gag of, like, Homer doing something ridiculous, like a 3-second bit. And you probably would have, that's nice. Oh, that's, hey, how about that?
And then Simpsons fans forevermore would have been reenacting that moment at the actual zoo when they go visit the zoo.
Yeah, but that's not what we got.
Nah, that's not what we got, no. So it wasn't a bad episode. It was just an episode where I sort of went, just a little bit more thought went into this, and it's, as you said, it's easy to sit back in our chairs 20 years later, and you know, we weren't paid to write this, so, you know, all credit to them. They were paid to write this episode, but who did write this? Let's have a quick look, by the way. I believe it was a woman who wrote this one. Yeah, Stephanie Gillis and Nancy Cruz directed it, so all female cast here, all female, not cast, but, you know, all female people behind the scenes. So I think it's important that you do probably have a female sort of head behind or mind behind the story when it's a Lisa-based episode. I think it's more important. But, yeah, it just didn't quite hit the mark for me.
Yeah, I mean, all the stuff about Lisa flipping out in the playground, you know, she's clearly reached her boiling point and she's taking out her frustrations on all and sundry. Everything she's saying is valid. The way she's saying it feels kind of a bit clunky and a bit sort of obvious, although, you know, this was 20 years ago and...
I'm sorry, it's hard for me to concentrate, by the way, when you've got a cat just having the time of his life in the background. That's awesome. I'm just like watching the cat. He's just prancing around, licking his balls, scratching around.
I don't know if we're going to keep this. The thing of it is, listeners of the show may have heard the story that the lovely Louise, the wonderful Louise, recently got a new couch. I inherited her wonderful couch, got rid of my couch. Now, I put my old couch on Geelong Marketplace on Facebook. $25 for a Freedom couch. It's been ripped to shit by a cat. But no urine stains. Come get it. Some guy is not playing me, but he's like, oh, yeah, I'm interested in that. And I'm like, you're going to come get this? Oh, yeah, where are you? I'm here. Okay. And then I haven't heard from him since. Eventually, I'm going to have to put this thing out on the
nature strip.
Nature strip. But right now, it is in pieces around the house. And Count Basie, the cat, is like, cool, things for me to climb and scratch.
Yeah, he's scratching away the background.
Part of it is in the recording studio, and he's up there right now. As Dano said, having the time of his life. I'm not sure if he can pick up the fact that you can hear his claws just ripping in the fabric. The value of this couch is going down by the second. So yeah, eventually, come by Herne Hill and you may find a couch on the nature strip. Could well be yours if you've got the means to take it away.
Hey, my favorite.
All right, what did you enjoy from this episode, Mr. Davis?
As we all know, I'm a Quimby man. Mm-hmm. I'm vote one Quimby. So anytime that he's on and anytime that he is just contemptuous of his electorate, I'm all for it. So I was happy to see him and essentially say, okay, so I stink, tough Toblerone. That's great. I thought that was marvelous. Also great to see, you know, his, I guess, mistress. You know, what do we? I'm sure we've seen Quimby.
You mean his actual? No, you mean his dumb wife? Dumb girlfriend? You mean is that what you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
We have looked up her name before, but continue. I'll find it again. But yeah, continue.
I'm always happy to see her, and you know, an acknowledgement that her voice is kind of silly. Well. I think she doesn't have a problem with her speaking voice. She does have a problem with her singing voice because people think it's dumb. I don't know. I enjoy her, so I was happy to see her make an appearance. But
I can't find her voice.
No. Anytime Quimby is just flaunting his power and lording it over the people of Springfield, it puts a smile on my dial. So yes, very happy to see Quimby. Vote one Quimby.
Here's the thing, right? The episode couldn't even give us a Quimby victory speech of any kind. It's just like, oh yeah, and he got re-elected in. I'm like, you didn't even show him. You couldn't even think of a Quimby to sort of say, fuck you guys, I'm back in or something, you know?
He had the sign above him when you could see it in the background when Ken Brockman was, you know, reporting that he was back in power or something.
Yeah.
I forgot. I should have written it down because it said something like, God, no, change is bad or something along those lines. That's not untrue.
I did enjoy, as much as Homer was a dick in this, I did enjoy because this is something that wasn't necessarily Homer's fault. It was and it wasn't because we all somehow, you know, have bad memories from time to time, but lousy magnet. And turned out to be happy birthday from Lisa. I thought, oh, that's a funny reveal. Nothing's going right. Also enjoyed Willie's quick thinking when he breaks the window, just tries to wipe nothing. Oh. I was watching this, I'm like, see, this is even a Willie moment that Guy could enjoy.
That's true. I'm not 100% anti-Willie. Hey, feel free to take that out of context.
Especially when you're carpooling.
yeah, you're right. That was a good one. Yeah, it's a very sharp thinking on Willie's part. Yes, making sure that window looked sparkly clean. Like it's not even there.
And I'm always a sucker for an every man for himself moment, right? I just love the every man for himself, but to back it up with trample if you must.
Any more brain busters?
It is time for this week's blockbuster brain buster, Mr. Davis. And this episode aired November 20th, 2005. What do you think was number one at the US box office, November 20th, 2005? Still, though, in number third position, we had it on the last episode, Chicken Little. Still up there in the top three. Number three, Chicken Little. Number one and number two. What do you reckon it is?
I'm going to need just a little hint. Just a tiny hint.
It's based on a novel that was released in the year 2000.
That's no hint at all.
Well, it's an adaptation of the film. Of the book released in 2000.
Hang on. We're talking end of the year in the early 2000s and books.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I take it back. You know, it's like, oh, there are a lot of books released now. There was really only one name that you were thinking of. It was Harry Potter.
Yes. Which one?
But which one? So let's see. 2005. Was it the fourth or the fifth? So it's not Chamber of Secrets. Not Azkaban. Is it Goblet of Fire?
Correct. Well done. Goblet of Fire.
Oh, there we go. We took the scenic route to get there, but we got there.
And the second one has had a comedy spoof film released since then that stars your man, John C. Reilly.
Oh, hello, I'm Johnny Cash, and this is Walk the Line. Yes. It's Walk the Line,
which was massive when it first came out. I remember Joaquin Phoenix, wasn't it? He was just like...
It was Joaquin.
He was like the poster
really
boy.
Good.
He was like the poster boy of Hollywood when that movie came out. Everyone loved it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a pretty good movie, Walk the Line. I mean, it's... I love Walk Hard, the one that sort of takes the piss out of it, and, you know, Ray Charles, and it takes the piss out of all the music biopics. But it seemingly really took the mickey out of Walk the Line, which is a shame. It sort of has diminished Walk the Line's impact since then. But it's a really solid biography of a really interesting dude as well. And it's a great performance by Joaquin, a pretty good one by Reese Witherspoon as well as June Carter Cash. I mean, I can see why people take the mickey out of it, though, because it actually does have people sort of like saying the lines of songs in like actual conversations. Like, you know, you've got Reese Witherspoon saying to, you know, Johnny Cash, "You can't walk no line." It's like, what does that even mean? What are you saying?
Eat some hot salami. Man, I got a ring of fire.
Next question. You there, eating the paste.
Mr. Davis, it's time for some trivia. Before we do that, though, it's time to give some shout-outs to our incredible supporters on Patreon, starting with our man Elliot J. O'Neill from the Simpsons Index podcast. Make sure, if you have not subscribed to that channel, make sure you do so. The Simpsons Index podcast. Thank you so much, man. Elliot J. O'Neill, our $100 supporter of the month. Also, shout-out to our man Andrew Zerr for his $50 contribution once again. Absolute legend. And the following new $50 supporter, KDG, you are an absolute delight. Thank you so much for your ongoing support and for chucking us $50 this month. Thank you, KDG. Also, the following people have chucked us $5 this week, including Jordan Moleman Ritchie, Christopher Darby, Jonathan Rossi, Zach Pruitt, Timothy Belson, George McMenemy, Stephen Roberts, Sean Devey, Pete Anderson, Andrew Davis, Ryan Dunlap, Jared Howard, Kevin Dental Plan Flood, Joel Yoland, Daniel Kotnick, Shannon Hofer, Reese Roberts, Bella Winderbank, Mark Boston Burgess, Jack McFadden, Heath Appleby with the 33-50, Preston Murray, Adric McLeod, Lewis Kavanagh, and Mark Trelevan. Thank you so much, guys, for supporting us. Also, the following people chucked us $5 dues this week as well. Matthew Haynes, Lloyd, and Billy Jensen. You're all now part of the Four Finger Discount family, and we love you all so much for it. These people are absolute champions, Mr. Davis. We just love them with all of our hearts, don't we?
They're great. Oh, my goodness. I mean, you should really take back some of the things you say about them when we're not, you know, on air.
Well, yeah, no, I'll save that for the Christmas special. They'll soon hear it.
Do it to the Christmas party. Oh, you stink.
No. Special shout out once again, by the way, to our man Elliot J. O'Neill from the Simpsons Index podcast. He's going to be coming on the show in a few weeks' time as well to review a classic episode of The Simpsons. But we're here to do some trivia. My first question for you is, who is playing the king in the film Princess Rockstar?
That's Eugene Levy as the king. By the way, while we're at the cinema, my first question to you, how much less is it for babies to get in?
50 cents.
50 cents less.
What was Willie cooking when Skinner said it's time to fix get the rats out of the lights?
Oh, his ramen noodles.
Correct, ramen noodles.
The pipe cleaner that Lisa, I think, bought in the end, came from where?
Oh, I do have my notes. I won't check. I can't be bothered looking. It's something like, do it yourself, you lazy ass, or something?
Oh, it came from that shop, but the pipe cleaner itself came from...
No, I don't know. What was it?
Came from Zanzibar.
And my final question is, who paid for Jimbo's campaign ad?
People bullied by Jimbo.
The victims of Jimbo. I was like, that's funny.
That's pretty. Yeah, he's just like holding them upside down and just getting all the money out of their pocket.
Yeah.
My last question to you, if you want.
Go.
There's a sign on the door of Cleus's truck. What does it read? What does it say?
I have no idea. What does it say?
It said Sour Mash Enterprises.
Ah, okay. See, I see Cletus these days and go for a piss break. The character just has nothing to add anymore. I'm like, this gag is just done. Just done.
We all have our, not blind spots, all our little bugbears that we're like, this guy.
Do you love Bob's Burgers? Of course you do. Who doesn't? Well, what if I was to tell you that if you supported your pals Guy and Dando for just $1 a month, you could help us finally launch a weekly Bob's Burgers podcast? Yes, we've set ourselves the goal of launching the new show once we hit 1,000 supporters, and we're currently sitting at 350. So, you know, there's still a way to go, but if you've enjoyed the 1,000-plus hours of content we've chucked out over the last 8 years, you can show your support by joining the Four Finger Discount family today and actually making it a reality. So go ahead, help us reach our goal and finally launch that Bob's Burgers podcast by going to patreon.com/fourfingerdiscount. You have the power inside you right now, so use it. If you feel like having yourself a time, then check out our new podcast, Going Down to South Park, where we go back and revisit every episode of the iconic series, dissecting the stories, reveling in chef sing-alongs, and chuckling at the occasional fart joke. Going Down to South Park is available now for free on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. The original air date of See Homer Run was November 20th, 2005, written by Stephanie Gillis and directed by Nancy Kruse. The couch gag was the Simpsons are all sitting on the couch. It's normal when it pans out and it's like they're in a zoo on the alien planet. It was Rigel 7, that's where they're from, I believe. Rigel 7, where Kang and Kodos are from. So the episode kicks off with Father's Day Eve. And I will say, Lisa was a bit of a party pooper here. I'm like, motherfucker, if we want to celebrate Father's Day Eve, let us celebrate Father's Day Eve. It's not a real thing in your world. You're not a father.
I can understand you feeling like this, Dando, I guess. I mean, hopefully, you know, every day is treated as Daddy's Day at the Dando household. You imagine it would. I mean, I've dropped around to your place and seen how the kids just worship you. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised
if they don't.
Guys coming around, make sure you're appreciating me. Appreciate.
Not Uncle Guy. No!
Don't let him in.
But yeah, so Homer is just having a nice time celebrating Father's Day, which is going to be tomorrow. March, as they're going to the mall, and can I come with? No, I can't. There is something exciting. It's tongue in cheek. You know, Nicola's close to Christmas, close to the birthday. Nicola's like, I have to go to the shop. I'm like, okay, you can't come. Or you know, I have to get something. Wink. It's always a little bit of fun you have with your partner or whatever. But Bart wants money to buy a gift. This was an epic burn, by the way. You got to give Bart this.
That's true.
Hey, Mom, can I have some money to buy Dad a present?
If I give you money, how is the gift really from you?
Where do you get your money?
Here's a 10. Make your own card.
So we're now at the mall, and the sign at the front says, ask about our stepdad discounts. Hey, so you're not technically a stepdad, but you are? Like, do you see yourself as a stepdad, or do you see yourself as just the guy that your mum's seeing?
I'm definitely... My mum's boyfriend.
I'm Russell. For a South Park reference there. It was Russell, right? That was Russell who
stands up. It was Russell. Yeah, Russell's tough, yeah.
But you're not, you know, telling the kids to go out and chop wood, are you?
No, I am reaching the stage, or I have reached the stage, where it's like, mate, don't talk to your mum like that.
Well, how do they respond to that with you telling them what to do? You're not my real dad. Have you had that yet?
I haven't had that.
Ooh, okay. But probably too old for that. Oh, maybe.
I think so. Yeah. And if they did, I'd be like, ow, ow. It's like, yeah, you can see his heartbreak in real time. No, they haven't been like that yet.
Okay. But Ralph, he's turned Wiggum's 5 into a 50, and then he puts 100 in because his kid's paying out. I thought this gag didn't work, though, because... The joke was that he stuck his hand down his throat and pulled the 50 back out.
Yeah.
And he puts the 100 in and waits for Ralph to spit up the next one. I was like, but shouldn't he be... What? Huh?
We know we have dumb characters on The Simpsons, but often they're dumb for other reasons than being dumb, if you know what I mean. They're sort of blinded by other things like greed or a sense of their own importance or something like that. I mean... We've said this before, even, you know, Ralph back in the day, you know, before he became like an absolute simpleton, he was more sort of naive and stupid, and that was kind of funny.
Naive was the word. Naive, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But now they're just kind of, it's like there's no one with a, every character in Springfield has got a double-digit IQ.
Well, yeah, that's true. There's too many. Yeah, because he was the dumb character, that, as you put it, right? The nice one, like the dumb character. But now everyone's just got the IQ of Ralph. It's like, oh, well, but if they need them to for the sake of a joke, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Bart then sees the leather buddy, and Lisa has the Shrek shirt, and I was like, I'd totally want that Shrek shirt.
It would fit right in with the Dando line.
Yes, I'll always sing the praises of Shrek. I love Shrek, and the kids love Shrek. But Shrek, like Shrek 1 and 2, Shrek 3 is just kind of like, oh, I'm not really sure what you're going for here. Shrek 4, I'm like, what is this?
I think I kind of lost track of what they would do. I mean, after Shrek 2, yeah. I mean, Shrek 2 is the one with Puss in Boots, right?
That's where he first was introduced, yeah. Shrek 2 is where he, the fairy godmother and things like that, yeah.
That's right, yeah. But I don't really, I mean, is Shrek 3 the one with Prince Charming, with Timberlake as Prince Charming, or is that Shrek Forever After?
No, I think Shrek 3 is where, you got the Prince Charming, yeah.
Okay. Have you seen the new Puss in Boots?
No, I haven't.
Apparently it's really good.
Okay, yeah. Wouldn't surprise me. Yeah. Puss in Boots was a good character, and it's Antonio Banderas.
That was the main thing I liked about the Shrek franchise. Puss in Boots. then he got his own movie.
And I just remember everyone just loving the sad eyes moment. That was like,
oh, yeah, the big kitty eyes. Yes.
Everyone loved that.
No, apparently the Last Wish or whatever it's called is like, no, it's like a really good story, and the animation's fantastic, and the villain is actually like villainous. It's like, oh, sweet.
I heard there's rumors of a Shrek 5 coming out, which, you know, I will go and see.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I wouldn't put it past them. And in all honesty, look, I think enough time has passed.
Yeah, 100%. That people
start going, hey, Shrek. Kind of like Shrek.
We like Shrek.
A couple of those movies weren't that great, but Shrek.
I think if you just sort of somehow change the timeline, so it just sort of, it's like a follow-up to number 2, and just pretend number 3 and number 4 never really happened. I think if you can sort of work a way around that, that'd be cool. And just sort of go back to the swamp and just go back to what everyone enjoyed. Bring Farquaad back.
True.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, enough about Shrek.
While all these people are still alive, by the way.
Exactly, yeah. Capitalize on that. I completely agree. But Lisa says she's not going to get this shirt. She's going to make him something, you know, something with heart, make him a present, which I thought was quite nice. And she goes to the shop, go do it yourself, you lazy ass. And she gets what does she get again?
It's a pipe cleaner.
Pipe cleaner, that's right, yes.
From Zanzibar.
Homer's now getting breakfast in bed. I'm not a fan of breakfast in bed because I just don't want crumbs in my blankets.
I can dig it. Yeah, I'm not a fan of like, here's a tray with some pancakes and a glass of orange. Like, no, if I'm having breakfast in bed, I'll usually, here's two slices of toast and a cup of coffee. I'm going to put them on the bedside table. Occasionally I'll grab take a bite of toast. But then you got to shake out your doona and all that shit. No, I mean, eating a whole meal in bed, I'm not for it.
Yeah, it's like, don't shit where you sleep and don't eat where you sleep.
This is news to me.
And don't eat where you shit.
I got to go change my sheets.
And don't shit where you eat. Homer gets a leather buddy and he's a big fan of it. He has the vision of him stopping pirates and whatnot. And Lisa gives him the unicorn book.
Marge is kind of hot as the pirate wench.
Yes, she has the bosoms all pushed up and all. And Lisa gives Homer the unicorn book that she drew herself.
What you got, Lisa? What the hell is this?
The unicorns are you and me, Dad. I drew it myself. What do you think? Huh? Huh? Pretty heartfelt, huh? Huh?
Oh, it's heartfelt. There's no escaping that. Thanks, honey.
You didn't like it, did you?
No. It's great. I'm done with it now.
Her saying, you know, pretty heartfelt, huh? Pretty heartfelt. Like she's nervous that he's not going to like it. We've all had that moment where you give somebody a present, which you put a lot of thought into, and you just hope that they understand and appreciate that. And when they don't, it's just like, oh, no.
you're both disappointed in them for not seeing how much it meant, but you're also disappointed in yourself. It's like, oh, I missed the mark on this one.
And you're sort of like somewhat embarrassed, and Lisa can't believe it here because he sort of just tosses it aside. And I was like, this is just like arguably the meanest he's been as a dad, Homer. He's done cruel things, you know, he's choked his kids and he's said rude things, but I guess just as a father now, I looked at this and I was like, man, you know, imagine put yourself back into your 8-year-old shoes and you've made something for your dad for Father's Day and he just tosses it aside and says, I'm done with it now. I'd be like, oh, fuck you, man.
Yeah, that kind of sucks, Homer. That's what I've written down here.
Yeah, not good at all. And Marge suggests they put it on the fridge, and oh, this wasn't his fault where it goes into the water and gets all turned into paper mache, essentially. Because the magnet doesn't work. But still, I'm just like, eh, not great. Lisa sat on the swing a little bit later, and Homer still says here, you know, as I said, he doesn't get it. You know, it's my day. Why is she sad? And it's like, man, like, don't
stop sucking.
Just leave it at the fridge moment. You don't have to reinforce that this guy is not a nice person anymore. That's the difference between not understanding Lisa's efforts and just being a dickhead and saying, "Oh, it's my day. How dare she feel sad about what happened?" But you know, he says, "Yeah, I know how to win women back because I lost your wedding album." I mean, seeing Mo put photos of himself in the wedding album—that's fine. It works for the Mo character.
It's in keeping.
Yes. Yeah, but I don't know. Just makes Homer seem more like a dickhead. Anyway, we now get Bart and he finds the Bart Boulevard sign. This doesn't go anywhere. Oh, no, actually, I tell a lie. It causes the accident. But that after that moment, like I thought maybe Bart was going to become a klepto or something.
Also, Bart Boulevard? I don't know. I mean, I would have liked some explanation as to why it was called Bart Boulevard, or maybe it was called like Barton Boulevard and his home, and, you know, like close enough, and, you know, takes it from there. But just being called Bart Boulevard. That's a really tiny nit, and I'm searching really close and trying to pick it.
I mean, I've pinched a sign. I stole Dando Road. I've still got that sign. Yeah, because you know where the Avalon Air Show is here in Geelong, in Avalon. My family used to own the land that's on. That's why you turned down Dando Road to get there, where the airport is.
Well, I would, but there's no sign.
That's just why there's always pileups on the highway all the time.
That's why there was that crash at the air show.
The bullies tell Bart to steal a sign. He's able to, if it says so in the Sixth Amendment, they can't do anything about it. And then because they realize they're good at peer pressure, they cause Milhouse to be hit by a train, and I'm assuming dead because you're hit by a train.
Except no, he just breaks an arm apparently, or sprains an arm.
And then Dolph is off to Hebrew school. Homer is now taking Lisa to see a movie. We took the kids to see a film on Saturday at the Kids Cinema V Junior. They were just putting Frozen on, right?
Was it John Wick Chapter 4? No, it was Frozen.
Forevermore. But we went to the to the screening of Frozen. And normally we go to these things, and you know, it's quite not quiet, but you know, there aren't many kids in there. You know, it's sort of just like, you know, maybe 20 kids. This was fucking packed. We rocked up. There's all these kids, these girls in Frozen dresses, and I'm like, no. And it gets no shit like half an hour into the movie, and every parent in there, Nicola was livid, right? I was furious. Basically, parents are taking their kids there. I'm all for kids having a good time, right? And just, you know, might be go down the front and have a bit of a dance or whatever at the songs, or, you know, muck around. There's a slide there to play on and some drawings and things like that. But they take a break halfway through at the halfway mark for 20 minutes for kids to have a play, right? To get their energy out and go back, sit down and shut the fuck up and watch the movie again. I don't care if kids are talking or whatever, but these parents just sat there on their phones, legitimately on like Facebook and stuff, whilst their kids are running up and down the aisles and they're hitting the screen and they climbed over the barricade and they're climbing up and down the slide, not in the slide, up and on top of the slide, jumping up and down on things, throwing food around, and the parents are doing nothing, like nothing. It's like if you just want to go somewhere where your kids can fuck around, go to a cafe and let them play in the playground. Don't bring them to a fucking movie where people have paid money to watch the movie. Like, and God bless them, Elliot and Holly sat there the whole time, didn't say fucking boo. I mean, the handcuffs helped, but they didn't move at all, right? But and I was really proud of them. But there was one point where I said, there was a woman behind me. I knew it was her sons that were climbing up and down the slide. And I was like, to Nicola, that's it. I'm getting the fucking workers. Because there was no workers in there. I'm like, what is going on here? Like, how can they have no staff in the kids' cinema? So I get out there and the ticket guy's there. And I said to him, mate, can we have like a member of staff in here? He goes, yeah, there should be three girls in there. I was like, there's no one in here, mate. And kids are climbing up and down the slides. And it's just chaos. I said, you're going to have a lawsuit on your head soon if someone falls off and hurt themselves. And he runs off and he comes back. And there's six workers walked in with torches. And it was just like the FBI. It's just like, everyone down, 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 down. But then the woman behind me just sits there and goes, Jesus, they're just trying to have fun. And I was like, oh, I hate you as a parent. I hate parents like this. Just, if your kids can't sit still for fucking 5 minutes, don't bring them to the movies. You know what I mean? Go to a play center and let them run wild. Don't bring them to the movies if they can't sit still for 10 minutes.
I hope you or Nicola sang, let us go, let us go.
At one point I said to Nicola, do you want us to go?
You shouldn't have come here in at all.
Well, I said to Nicola, do you want us to go to Time Zone? She's like, nope, we've paid our money. Because it cost us like $15 a ticket. I'm like, we've dropped $60 on this. And like, I'm thinking, the chick behind us whose son's dropping down, she had six kids with her. I'm like, so you've dropped like $90 and you're just letting them run. Oh, I don't want to think about it. I'm just like, fucking kids, man. Oh, Jesus Christ. Where were we up to? What made me think about that? Oh, the movies.
Oh, yes. They were going to the movies.
Yes, Homer's taking her to see Princess Rockstar. But she leaves because he tries to make her pretend she's a two-year-old or whatever. She's embarrassed by this. Bart's then showing off the sign to the bullies, and they say, well, we'll one-up you and we'll show you the scream. Then Lisa here, she takes her anger out on Martin. So apparently she now hates all males. She hates men. She's become a feminist, essentially. Well, not a feminist, but she just doesn't have any faith in the men.
I'm a sandwich.
Stupid dad doesn't care about my feelings.
Oh, Lisa, may I borrow one of your colored pencils?
Sure, that's all you men do is take and take and take without regard to feelings or unicorns. Ugh. Here, take my lunch, too. Ugh. Just take my whole backpack. Ugh.
Which of you boys hurled Lisa Simpson's backpack through my window?
Oh, it had to be a boy, did it? You think a girl can't flip out? Well, you're wrong.
My flexi cast!
Lisa, I hold in my hand a sticker with a frowny face on it. Don't make me affix it to your file.
Don't make me affix it to your file.
I'm peeling off the back. Don't make me do this. May God forgive me.
The whole thing with the frown, it's drawn out too much as well. It's like, I'm peeling it off, don't make me do it. It's like,
It makes sense to me in a sense that the Skinner character, like Lisa's like his star student. He doesn't want, because once it's on the record forever. He can't take stickers off, mate. Stickers don't peel off.
That is true.
It's a permanent record. We come back and Willie is replacing the window, but then unfortunately breaks it again himself by accident. And Homer and Marge in Skinner's office are having a meeting, and we get the return of Dr. Pryor, who did make a slight appearance in the flashback episode Lisa Sacks, but this is the first prominent role he's had on the show since season one with Bart the Genius.
Welcome back, J. Lauren Pryor. You have been missed.
Yes, I like the way they had him hiding in the shadows as well, waiting for his turn to come out, because he's just been gone. And I like the character. I thought they should have had more of him. It's a wonder why he took 16 years to return. Look, it's... He was clearly going to be a major character, you would think. He was in a couple of season one episodes, but then he just gone. It was weird.
Beats me.
Yeah. Maybe he might even be in season two. Bart gets an... I don't know. He was in the earlier seasons anyway. Everyone knows who Dr. Pryor is if you're a long-time Simpsons fan. But he points out to Marge and Homer that Lisa needs a positive male role model in her life, or she could end up hating men for the rest of her life. And I thought, oh, Jesus, that's a bit heavy. So Skinner then suggests that Homer becomes the safety salamander, so that Lisa would respect him again. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Has anyone ever respected the person in the safety mascot costume?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. But it just to me, that I watched this and I went, we've kind of done Homer on the safety thing with the... remember the episode, was it like episode 3? What was it called? It wasn't Homer's Odyssey, was it? Yeah, it was Homer's Odyssey. That episode where he tries to kill himself and then he gets
safety
like
safety inspector. Yeah.
And that's how he becomes a safety inspector. Yeah, because he puts all signs around Springfield and stuff. Yeah.
But this is certainly not the first time we've seen Homer in some position of quasi-authority.
Mm.
And, I don't know, entering it with the best of intentions but usually buggering it up. But his motive for doing so is like, people will respect me and love me as a result of this.
I think this episode totally should have just started right with... No, not Homer doesn't do anything as bad as what he does in this episode, but he does something to upset Lisa. There's some sort of like school fair and he embarrasses her or something. She's like, oh, Dad, you're so embarrassing. And then Skinner says, you know, win the chance to be the safety salamander or something like that. Win the costume or whatever. And then Homer becomes that at the start of the episode. Hmm. And then start the politics side of thing early on and then have Lisa go, how can I use this?
Well, yeah, he's reluctantly drawn into it's like, you get to be safety salamander for a day. It's like, oh, great, do I? But then something like the accident that happens here happens. He becomes an inadvertent hero and, yeah, parlays that into a higher public profile or a political position.
Yeah, I just feel like it was such a drawn-out way to get to where they got to in the end. But anyway, so he shows off the suit to Lisa. Essentially, he's just not very good at the job. He's causing a destruction all along on the way to school, knocking things off with his tail and things like that, and then... He's on the school bus and he tells Otto to slam the brakes because there's no seat belts and causes the kids to all chip their teeth. A gag which we've already had on the tooth chipper. Remember at the fair?
Safety tip 99. Always double bolt your easel.
Oh, son of a...
Questions? Comments?
Are you a girl? Because I don't see a sallow wiener.
Did I hear, where are the fireworks? Because here they are.
Every man for himself! Trample if you must!
There's one way to get kids' attention. It's just, it's fireworks and a light show. Even with grown adults. What is our fascination with sparklers and things like that? Like, I don't know, like even like a birthday cake, you put a sparkler on it, it's like, ooh, sparkler.
It's true. This occasion just got specialized. Yeah.
Problem is, though, I will never put sparklers on my kids' birthday cakes, though, because you can't blow them out, and B, they take longer to fizzle out than what it takes to sing the happy birthday song. So you sing the happy song, and they're still going. Everyone's like, do we clap? Do we have to wait? What do we do?
Do we have to do six hip hip hoorays this episode? Or do we have to do that dumbass thing where, you know, whoever old they are, you sort of go, clap, 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 you know.
What's the clap, clap thing? What's that?
Have you ever been to, you know, like there'll be a kid's birthday party. It's like, they're 12 years old. So you go, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
I've never in my life ever done that.
It's a relatively new thing to me as well, but I saw it at a birthday party not long ago for a child, and I'm like, this is new and kind of stupid.
No, it just seems...
I can't say I approve.
Yeah, I don't know. Just blow your germs over the cake and get on with it.
Can't you... There are that many candles on your cake. We know how old you are.
Yeah, well, we went to a birthday party a couple of weeks ago, and the mother...
This is why we're not invited to birthday
parties. The mother cut up the cake, right? And she sort of grabbed it, and her husband was like, don't pick the pieces up with your hands. And I'm like, mate, your kid just blew his boogers and snot, not a snot, but like he spit all over the cake. I don't think anyone fucking cares.
COVID is still real, dude.
Yeah. And they're kids. It's cake. You could wipe dog shit on it and they'll still eat it. It's cake. But, yeah, so Homer's, he's not doing too well. He sets the fireworks off and causes a massive fire. And every man for himself, trample if you must. I've got to kick out of that. Trample if you must. Lisa then suggests that, you know, why can't it just be, you know, a father like Janie's dad? Just take me to the zoo once a month. You don't have to go over the top like this. She's, like, somewhat embarrassed by Homer here. And then we get the massive accident that's caused by no Bart song. We get the Cletus moment about her giving birth to another kid. Whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, massive car accident that's occurred. Even the police helicopter's fallen down and crash. And then we get the news report. It's live broadcast of the news report by Brockman here. Springfield needs a hero. And, of course, Homer is a dad trying to win back his daughter's love, so he goes there and he saves everyone, including Dredrick Tatum, Largo and Smithers. We sneak in a bit of a gay joke here with them only carpooling. And then Nelson, which I thought felt like it fit the Nelson character. My mum's still in there, which is a horrific joke to make. But I can buy Nelson making it just for the ha-ha.
Yeah. Yeah, pranking in the middle of like a 12-car pileup.
Yeah, and then Homer wants 6 cheers instead of the 3 cheers. And then he gets given the key card to the city by Mayor Quimby as a result, and Lisa gives him the thumbs up. She's proud of him now. But then, the episode becomes a political story.
Now, any new business?
Mr. Mayor, your administration has been one fiasco after another.
Who the hell are you?
Your press secretary.
I knew I should have hired my nephew.
I am your nephew.
Okay, so I stink. Tough Toblerone. Read the charter, people. I cannot be removed from office except by a simple recall election. And disregard that last part.
Recall! Recall!
I was really let down by the appearance of Freddie Quimby here.
Oh, yeah.
We love the pompous Freddie Quimby. That's what we loved about him. You know, chowder. I said chowder.
Say it, French air. Say chowder.
That's what makes that character so great, the obnoxiousness of it, right? I don't want Freddie Quimby to be a goody two shoes. What?
Straightening up and flying right? No.
No, you've just
not the Quimby brand.
Yeah, I don't know. I know what they're trying here. For me, it didn't work. I'm like, oh, I don't want this Freddie Quimby. I want Freddie Quimby to be the prick. That's what's so great about him.
Correct.
Somebody just spiked the punch. But Quimby, he says he can't be removed except if you have a recall election. And he says, forget about what I just said. And then we get the recall. Everyone wants a recall. So we have a news report. I love the subheading, though, that old grey mare ain't what he used to be. And... actually, this would have made one of my favorite moments because it's so ridiculous, but it just felt so on point for Quimby. Even the fact that he tried to hijack a 747. Take me anywhere, girls are going wild.
Wild.
It felt very 2005 because Girls Gone Wild was like the pay-per-view thing.
It was, yes. Before the internet was awash with porn. Mm. Well, Actually, the internet was awash with porn from day one. But
high-quality porn.
That's correct, yes. But yeah, if you wanted to get, if you were, yes, a dude who wanted to get his kick, so to speak, back in 2005, you had to get a Girls Gone Wild DVD or log onto their site and just wait there for ages while it went.
Or Hijacker 747.
Or Hijacker 747, the Quimby star.
We now have 200 candidates filing for the recall, including Luigi, Wolfcastle, who was just blatantly taking off Arnold Schwarzenegger here.
Vote for me, a steroid-abusing, pot-smoking, women-groping, son of a Nazi, washed-up, has-been movie star!
Yay!
Oh, also, I believe we should keep an open mind towards stem cell research.
That was so tough on Wolfcastle. And it's funny, too, because I love how Arnold is just reinvented himself now that he's in his mid-70s.
He's like a motivational speaker now.
He really is. I signed up for it. He's got this thing called, yeah, the Pump Up or whatever it is, like this newsletter that he sends out. My good buddy Ali sent me a link saying, you should check this out. It's actually really good. And we're 90s guys. Well, I was a little older in the 90s, but you may remember that Arnold was like, I'm Arnold and you're puny. Don't not try and take on Arnold.
I lived through the Terminator era, yeah.
Yes. So, you know, he was just this... He was pretty much everything they're saying here.
It's funny how kids like Elliot's age will just know him as like this old guy that did motivational speeches. And it's like,
yeah.
No, he was in Predator, man.
He really was, but yeah, but he did this lovely, we may have talked about it before, but he gave this lovely 12-minute sort of speech on YouTube and social media.
Yeah.
Talking about, you know, some people are following neo-Nazis. You should not do it. No, I mean, he was actually very softly spoken, very measured, very rational, and just saying, I don't know why you're following losers. I don't want you to be a loser. I want you to be a winner. You know, yeah. It's like, oh, it's like your kindly uncle. He's like, I notice, guy, that you were smoking cigarettes. It's not good for you. Maybe you should not do it.
He's become a school counselor.
He really has, but the best kind of school counselor, like, what do you know about it? Oh, man, Schwarzenegger. And then he just like arm wrestles you and flips you into the next state.
Basically, he's saying to all these people, I'm not judging you for doing this, right? But maybe think about doing something else. It's like, hey, he's not telling us what to do. And he's suggesting an alternative that might be better. Let's do it.
Yeah. And he's Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he's using examples from his own life. It all works.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yes. Look, admittedly, this was 2005 where Arnold was probably like, on the down, yeah, I think his movie career was kind of like, it's not what it used to be, all that kind of stuff.
Well, he was a governor at this point.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
But yeah, so we get here as well, yes, Jimbo as well, his campaign paid for by his victims, and Lisa suggests to Homer that he should do it, because then only good people like her can tell him what to do. And I was like, oh, okay, this is going to be interesting, and it goes nowhere. Like, Lisa says she's a campaign manager, but you don't see her campaign at all.
No. Yeah, like I said, have her corrupted by power and have Homer say, you're a little girl and the best little girl. You know, there's better ways to do this. Or, you know, admittedly, we've seen that before as well, but I don't know. It's nice to be reminded of that every once in a while, as opposed to Homer's a dummy or an evil dummy.
Especially when he's drinking alcohol saying, expand my brain learning juice.
Yeah.
Homer's in at the press conference and the lesser of 25 evils. And Marge says, you should take off the costume. I think, you know, people would appreciate if you're talking to a man. He's like, no. The people love the costume, just like George Washington and Dame Edna. And he takes some questions, and then he asks what his special powers are as a salamander. And he gets big laughs with tennis balls. And I was like, this is the kind of show that guy would have seen in Bali.
That is good. You go to sleep, honey. I'm just going to go out and check out some of the Balinese nightlife.
Yes. Brockman then brings up the choking photo because, you know, he's running against Homer. Well, he says he was, and then...
Yeah, they never really make too much of Brockman being in the race.
Then he was hosting the debate, and I was like, but isn't he running? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's conflict of interest.
Yeah, it's odd. But he brings up choking photo, and Homer's like, why should we let this, you know, this be influenced by a photo taken hours ago? And I'm like, yeah, you're really just trying to point out how silly politics can be at times and how people are very easily influenced with things. And Homer's now drinking at Moe's, and we've got the ad on the TV from the power plant from Smithers talking about how... I'm thinking, Smithers, he saved you from the plane, from the car crash. Why is Smithers saying this? Doesn't make sense. But he says they love this suit like they love their stupid American flag. I'm like, okay, so Homer's not a good person. Okay, we get it. Homer's now drinking You're now drinking at night before bed. Marge says, what's that smell? And he vomits in his suit and she wants to clean the suit because he's been vomiting in it and things like that. And then she rips off the tail and a chicken runs out and he says, that's funny because it started off as an egg. And I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But she turns out she does wash the suit, but we don't actually see her wash the suit.
No.
No, no. So I think the payoff at the end when, because you see it sort of ripping as he's flexing in the next bit for the debate and things like that. Is that the debate? Yeah, is that the debate? But I'm like, but we didn't see her wash it. So like,
no.
Why did this fall apart? Goes, oh, it's fallen apart because my wife washed it. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay.
I guess we're meant to assume that, okay, the tail is off, the rest of it comes off and it is going to be washed, but still.
It would have been funny, I think, to have Marge shrink, see Marge shrink it and then have Homer try to put something else together that looks like the salamander maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, or sort of squeezing his way into it.
Yeah, something like that. But yes, we get the crazy cat lady. We get her real name here, by the way. It's
Eleanor Abernathy.
Yes. I don't know. She doesn't really add much. She just says cats.
Well, she's making some valid points about corporate accountability and small business incentives when she's not talking about cats.
Yeah, and then putting cats in everyone's pants.
Also a valid campaign platform.
Our next question is for the safety salamander. Sir, how would you restore our city's crumbling infrastructure?
That's an excellent question, Kent. First of all... what the... must have shrunk when my wife washed it. Why, without his costume, he's not but a man.
Hey, screw this. I'm not going to let any human tell me what to do.
You know, Homer then sort of has a backup plan. He tries to introduce Lisa, his campaign manager, and she says no. And I'm like, what? Why? Well, why is she not going in to help him now? What's going on here? So then he says, and here's Bart. And then he pushes out Milhouse. And I'm like,
Milhouse?
Huh? What's happening?
So you got a WhatsApp callback.
We got a WhatsApp, but I was like, what? And then everyone throws fruit. He says, stop throwing fruit. So they throw cinder blocks. And then we get the announcement on the news that that since nobody got the 5%, Quimby has been re-elected back in, even though he didn't want it anyway. You're lost, jackasses. And what? So he was still running for it.
Yes.
Okay. But he's... Okay.
Maybe?
Yeah. Lisa then says, oh, you know what? You tried to make this town a better place, so you're my hero.
At which point I said, did he though?
Yeah. I'm like, he was actually not... He was drinking the whole time and not really trying to help the town at all. And you didn't try to help him. So if he's your hero, why didn't you help him? Mm-hmm. And then we get an anti-Ben Affleck joke, which I guess probably worked in 2005, but doesn't really work now, if you ask me.
No. Great recent interview with Affleck online. You can track it down because he's got a new movie coming out about Nike trying to sign Michael Jordan as the face of Air Jordan. And yeah, he freely admits, like, oh God, yeah, back in the 2000s, yeah, I stunk on ice, nobody wanted to touch me.
Was it Jiggly? Was that the movie he made with Lopez?
Yeah, around that time, I think. It was kind of the Daredevil era as well. Yeah, you know, Matt Damon was on top of the world and Ben Affleck was kind of like, oh, you stink, Affleck.
Yeah, Matt Damon got Matt Damon and everything. Like, even when the people were taking the piss out of him, it still made him a movie star.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Matt Damon has always just come across like the one who, if they were both in a bar, Matt Damon's the one I would approach and not be scared that he's going to have a go at me. Ben Affleck, I feel like he still is slightly unhinged.
I think so too, and I think that's what makes him interesting. I think, I mean, every interview I've seen and read with him was like, oh my God, this guy's incredibly smart, but he's also, you know, 6'3 and built like a truck. So it's like, oh no, it's like... I think someone once said it's like Matt Damon played Good Will Hunting. Ben Affleck is Good Will Hunting. It's like, oh shit.
Yeah, yeah. He's he just looks like the kind of guy like you just don't fuck with him. Like he would never forget. But yeah. So that is our review of See Homer Run, an episode that it was there.
Yeah. It was an episode that happened, and we talked about it.
Yeah, I normally enjoy the Homer and Lisa moments, the Homer and Lisa stories, because, you know, as a father of a daughter and things like that, and
yeah.
I like the emotional beats, but I just don't think the ending made any sense or was earned here, where she says, you're my hero. I'm like, what? I just don't get it.
I think at some stage down the line, maybe as a special feature or something like that, we should go back and find certain episodes that's like, this is a good idea, but it's poorly executed, and... give just a, maybe a 10-minute rundown or breakdown of, like, here's what we would... I mean, we kind of did that this episode.
Yeah.
Okay, forget I said it.
We're writing season 35 of The Simpsons as we speak.
Kind of, yeah. At which point the guys of The Simpsons will say, you know where you did that in season 17? Yeah, but you did it wrong. We're doing it right.
From this day forward, your name shall be...
It's time now, Mr. Davis, for the Guy Davis New Name Championship. The current leaderboard stands at this. In first position, Luke McKay on 8 points. Second position, Nora Coker on 5 points. And in third position, we have a three-way tie with Garode Harrahill, David Mott, and Ryan Dunlap, all on the 3 points. Hit me this week. What do we got, Mr. Davis?
Okay, first up, 1 point goes to... I'm going to be very careful how I pronounce this. Salamander.
Mm-hmm.
Salamander.
Yep. With mayor in there, yes. So
with
that
mayor
is
in the middle.
Our man Luke McKay. He's got 1 point. That puts him on 9 points. He's getting further
he's done
and further
it again.
Ahead. Yeah, well done.
Hmm. 2 points for the safety stance.
Mm-hmm. That is Fergus Jeffs. Fergus Jeffs, that is puts him now equal third with all the other guys on 3 points. Well done, Fergus. Mm.
Nice one, Fergus. And 3 points go to the running manda.
Oh, I do like that one. Heath Appleby. So that's 3 points for Heath Appleby. Oh, that also puts him equal third position. So now we've got a five-way tie for third position.
Nice. How do you like those Applebys? Well
yes,
done.
Exactly right. So first position still Luke McKay on 9. Second, Nora Coker still on 5. And in third position, Garode Harrahill, David Mott, Ryan Dunlap, and the newest members of the third division is Heath Appleby and Fergus Jeffs, all on 3 points. Don't forget, guys, if you want to be a part of this, just going to be a supporter of ours on Patreon by going to the link in the description of this podcast, patreon.com/fourfingerdiscount, where you also get to be a member of the Four Finger Discount Facebook community and comment on guys' posts.
Jamil! Jamil is here!
Ooh!
All right, it is the first question here for the See Homer Run mailbag. This one here comes from Harrison McClure. Harrison says, has anyone ever made you a gift where you felt kind of awkward receiving it and not sure what to do with it?
No, I feel guilty about admitting this because it was really thoughtful gift that I didn't appreciate and one that in hindsight I was like, that was probably one of the best gifts I got. And yeah, just did not really... It's kind of like, yeah, thanks. For my 21st, you know, I've received some very nice gifts, some clothes, some electronics, all that kind of business. And a buddy of mine who had a very good, if eclectic, taste in music, had bought like a... this is way back in the day. You could buy boxes of audio tapes, like six packs or 12 packs or whatever.
Yep.
He bought a 12-pack and he'd made me a shit ton of mixtapes of all this interesting music. And look, some of it wasn't to my taste, but all of it was kind of interesting and all of it was, you know, fairly alternative artists.
And that's serious effort as well.
That is effort. And I was kind of like, great. I mean, I didn't, of course, say that to him. I was like, mate, this is fantastic. Thank you so much. But at the same time, I think I sort of put it off to one side and never really paid a whole lot of attention to it. I don't know how much of I listened to. And in hindsight, I'm like, that was a really thoughtful gift and, you know, one that, you know, a 21-year-old guy who aspired to sort of have his horizons broadened when it came to art and culture and all that kind of stuff should have appreciated a lot more, and I didn't. So to my man Tony Smith, I don't know if you're listening. If you are, maybe consider being a patron. I didn't appreciate your gift as much as I should have back in the day. Thank you very, very much for it. I appreciate it in hindsight, which, of course, as you all know, is the best kind of appreciation.
Next question is from Andrew JP. What's your favorite parent-child combination storylines in The Simpsons? Is it Homer Lisa, Marge Bart, Homer Bart, or Marge and Lisa? Or anything involving Maggie? I think the older I got, it was Homer and Lisa. I think when I was a kid, it was Marge Bart. I don't think I really appreciated the Homer-Lisa moments until... I became a father myself. Like things like Lisa's wedding, the end of Lisa's wedding, where it's like she was embarrassed by him, and then she has the, you know, seeing into the future and seeing how upset she made her father and things like that, and she sort of appreciates her father for who he is at the end. And you know, I rode the teacups and I got a little sick, and then I rode him again, and they're walking off hand in hand. I'm like, that's just so nice. And then the end of and Maggie Makes Three, where we get the Do It For Her.
Of course,
I watched that about a month ago. And I nearly started crying again. I'm like, that is just fucking, like, that is arguably the greatest moment in the history of The Simpsons, that do it for her, where it's like, there's no photos of Maggie. I've got them where I need them the most. I need the most cheering up. And just cuts in that music cue by Alf, and it's like,
it's great.
God. Yeah.
That works. That really does, doesn't
it? Yeah. I think the Homer / kids storylines worked for me more as I became a father.
Well, look, speaking as an absolute mama's boy who is constantly, concerned that he's disappointing his dear mother, shout out to Margaret Mary. I'm a big fan of Marge and Bart storylines. they speak to me. They do.
This one here is from Jet Gerdam. They say, have you ever thrown up in a costume? I've never thrown up in a costume, but I have seen someone. This is not a costume. It's just seeing someone throw up in a weird place. So we're on the dance floor at Eureka. Remember the old Eureka nightclub here in Geelong, Mr. Davis, where you would have been, rocking the dance floors from time to time. And a friend of mine, I won't name names, but we're just like dancing away, and he had an empty pint glass in his hand. It was like a banger song, and he was wasting it, and then he had to be sick. So rather than go throw up in the toilets, he just vomited into the into the pint, put it on the floor, and then people obviously dancing, kicked it and just pew, vomit everywhere.
Oh, no.
Everyone's feet just covered in vomit.
Oh, no. Oh, dear. Likewise, I never threw up in a costume, but I remember one night at the Geelong Hotel.
Where I had my first ever, where I used my first ever fake license to get into the Geelong Hotel.
Yeah, what a hero. One night we decided to be, I don't know, we thought we'd go after a little bit, and we had shots of tequila. And I think I'd already had a bit by this stage, so I took the shot. I was like, that's coming back up right now. So, luckily, I was near like a dark corner, so I could just sort of turn around and went, and then just came right back.
Jesus. Just, we don't think of the cleaners who have to find this stuff the next morning and clean it up. Like, ugh.
Oh my God!
Can you imagine that, like, going to like Eureka and Geelong Hotel and things like that after a Saturday night, a Sunday morning, just seeing the aftermath?
Thinking about it in retrospect now, because when I went out, it was the smoking areas where you smoked inside.
Yeah. Gross. Yeah.
I mean, I can only imagine what I must have smelt like when I came home after a night.
Yeah.
Of drinking beer and smoking cigarettes in a closed, sweaty environment.
Yeah, the sweat. Oh.
It's a wonder that any of us picked up, a romantic / sexual partner at one of these places. It's not conducive to anything like that, because you just reek of all this stuff.
It reminds me of my mum used to always be my saviour when I was going out. She was still living at home. She used to pick me up, always have a pizza ready for me when I got home. I remember this one time when mum picked me up. I got in the car, and all of a sudden the window just started going down. Like, mum had been pushing it down. I was like, mum, it's cold. She goes, you stink. I'm like, okay. Fair dues. All right. My final question here, we've got from Adam Woolhouse. Of the Springfielders running in the election, whom would you have voted for and why? # vote Jimbo. I think, we only saw three real sort of spiels, didn't we? We saw Luigi, let's not forget, crazy cat lady name. Not going to vote for who? Not going to vote for Homer.
Well, Wolfcastle.
We got Wolfcastle, Jimbo, and Luigi.
Governator.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you're probably just going to vote for him, right? Because you're scared of him.
Pretty much. He'd rule with an iron fist.
Yes. I think of the three. I was thinking of the food Luigi could. Yeah, but Luigi's going to put the food out regardless. Let's go with Wolfcastle.
Yeah. I don't know if I trust Brockman.
No, I don't trust Brockman at all.
He'd be my media advisor, and like Freddie Quimby.
As long as what works for him works for you, then he'd be fine. But he's only going to do what works for him. So
yeah, that's correct. No, I would. I for one welcome our Rainier Wolfcastle Overlord.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that is the mailbag for See Homer Run. The next episode of Four Finger Discount, we are going to be reviewing the last of the Red Hot Mummers. So look out for that one in your feeds. Hope you guys, if you haven't yet, checked out our chat with Sammy J last week, reviewing Homer's Barbershop Quartet. That was a hell of a good time. And also, if you're a supporter of ours on Patreon, you already have access to our discussion with both Jim Cummings, the Disney voice actor legend, as well as the composer of Bluey, Geoff Bush, discussing the music of The Simpsons, which was really, really fun as well. Just such a down-to-earth, nice person. But this has been our review of See Homer Run. Don't forget, guys, to please continue to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and chuck us 5 stars on Spotify. We do really, really, really appreciate you doing that. It really does help. And if you do have any questions for us, send them through to simpsonsmailbag@gmail.com. If there's anything you do this week, send us a message, even if it's not a question, simpsonsmailbag@gmail.com. We would really love to hear from you. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Four Finger Pod on Twitter, at Four Finger Discount on Instagram, and at Four Finger Discount on Facebook. And if you do enjoy this show and you want early ad-free access, not just this, but all the shows we do here on the network, you can become a supporter of ours on Patreon and help us reach that 1,000 supporter mark and launch that Bob's Burgers podcast. But for now, next week, we're going to be doing the last of the Red Hot Mummers. Mr. Davis, any final words for those incredible listeners out there?
Well, this podcast was heartfelt.
Shh.